This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Pittsburgh.
Oh, it is a great morning. It's a great morning to talk about a whole lot of things. Thanks for joining us, Fan Morning Show. Presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Twitter, hit us there. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. 84-73, Pitt bounced from the tournament by Xavier University, coached by Sean Miller. You know that. But let's turn our attention to the coach here in Western Pennsylvania, Jeff Capel, who coaches those Panthers. And it was quite a ride, quite a season, and Pitt brought us to a place, at least Pitt fans, to a place that you probably didn't think they would take you to. Pitt gets a victory in the NCAA tournament, and you play Xavier, and man, was Xavier good. They passed the ball. Hell, I don't think it hit the floor one time in their first 11 shots, it seemed like. But that being said, now, and this is the landscape of college football, or excuse me, of college football too, college athletics, Jeff Capel's team loses a game, and right away, he's planning for next year. This is the talk, and this is the conversation. First, Capel.
You know, unfortunately, in the way the job is now, you don't really get a break. You know, it's not like it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago in the profession. So you get right back to it. You start to figure out, you try to figure out, you know, the very first thing is that you try to figure out your roster. And then you try to figure out who can you go get. And so I have people on my staff that have already started that process as far as looking at young guys or guys, I should say, that have entered the portal already. Some high school kids. I mean, look, we'll look everywhere to try to find the right people. We want to get good players, but it's really important going forward, especially after this year with these guys, to make sure we have the right people. And so that will probably happen when I get back to the hotel. We'll start looking at that.
My gosh. And Capel hit on the absolute biggest aspect of all this, which is the most important question. And you'd love to celebrate everything that Pitt accomplished. You'd love to live in some of its glory for a while, and you can do that. But at the same time, the main big number one question is this. Did what we just see from Pitt this year, especially from about Christmas time on to the NCAA tournament, did what we just see from them, was that a one-off? Was that something that was an outlier? Or was that the first block in a building block process? Because as this year was important, and as maybe even last year was important, I've said this to a couple people, next year will be one of probably the most important season in the last 15 years of Pitt basketball. Next season will. What direction will it take? Will it continue to grow, or will it go back to what it was? And I think it's a gigantic question. And man, I'm excited to see what happens.
It's definitely going to grow because of the way they did it and how they did it and the circumstances they did it underneath. They didn't do it with a bunch of NBA guys. They didn't do it with guys that are going to leave college early. They did it with guys that transferred in, that were looking for another opportunity, guys that, you know, maybe not even been starters on some of the bigger teams, you know, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, teams of that nature. And you can get guys like that again. You set the foundation of how you want your team and how you think your team can be as an organization year in and year out. And you could do it with guys that will transfer in, guys that aren't probably going to go to the NBA, and guys that could just play team basketball. That's what we saw this year. We saw an actual basketball team worked together. Nobody was a me guy. Nobody was a guy like, hey, I need to pad my stats because I'm going to get drafted to the NBA or I'm going to leave early to go to the NBA. They did it with guys that weren't me guys that could play together. And I think that that could be a very, very good method to how they can extend this as a basketball
team. It's how you're going to have to build the program, at least. Well, I hesitate to even say short-term versus long-term, but this is the way programs are built now. This is the brave new world that we're in with NIL and free transfers and all that. This is how you're going to have to do it. And you're going to have to replace about 35 to 40 points per game of production in Burton, Cummings, and Elliott, grad guys, each and every one of them. You're going to have to hope that you protect a guy like Federico maybe from being poached from another program who might try to pay him a big NIL fee. You're going to also have to continue to get production and improve production from Hinson, Sabandi, the Diaz-Graham twins, right? There's a way to not just say, hey, we're going back to the tournament next year, but we're going to push through to the Sweet 16. It requires, though, exactly what Jeff Capel just said. You go back to the hotel room as soon as you're done with this season and you start planning for next season. Because, again, in the atmosphere that exists now in college athletics, big-time D1 college athletics, in basketball and football anyway, you've got to constantly be building your roster for the next year. And that's why you've got to jump into it immediately, just like he said there.
I put myself in Capel's shoes yesterday and what I would possibly be feeling after we just had the loss where we had the loss at and against who we lost to. And I was like, I'd be feeling so exuberant, I guess would be the word, of getting back to the drawing board, of being like, I finally have a foundation of how I want this to be run and how it could work. So his answer in that interview of getting back to the drawing board was on par with how I would feel after losing a tournament game and heading into next year.
Well, one thing, Adam, and here's where I come down on this, is I look at this and I say, man, Capel's got to build this thing back up, and he's probably got to go get three guys again, right? And then the other part of me says, if Capel was able to get three guys whenever Pitt was way down, mm-hmm. how can't he get three guys now that they just did this?
I think it's probably a fair way of looking at it. I do think, just to caution Pitt fans, is you're guessing every year. You're going to get, I would imagine, good players. Are they going to fit? You just don't know. You don't know.
Oh, it's free agency.
Correct. Mm-hmm. You know that, okay, this guy put up 12 points and 6 rebounds in Conference X. So you figure he can be productive in Conference Z, or the ACC, I guess, in this case. But is he going to have a good mindset? Nelly Cummings, really good player. But he came in, and I heard Aiden Fish talking to Jeff Hathorn the other day about this. He said, we're making the NCAA tournament. He came in, he started working in the summer, and he said, I don't care where you've been. Here's where we're going. You need guys to come in like that. And so I would actually preach, now again, patience with Jeff Capel. Next year, it might work out better than this year. It also might not. But every year you're almost throwing darts at the dartboard. Can the talent we bring in mesh the way that it did here in 2023?
Fan Hotline presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. 14-3 and 12-2 runs yesterday by Xavier kind of put Pitt to sleep. For me, I thought that Xavier team, look, from the time that the season started till the time that the conference tournament started till the time that the tip-off was yesterday in through halftime and the end of the game, Xavier was a better basketball team the whole year, every single minute. So there was no shame in losing to Xavier. It did surprise me the amount of open looks and how Xavier beat them. There were times where the ball didn't hit the floor and all five guys touched it, it seemed. There were times they ripped it off the rim and went down, reversed the basketball, threw 50-foot passes, then swung it back around. And Pitt was, I don't want to say flat-footed, but it felt like the moment caught up to them. Xavier was so well coached in comparative. And their offense, they ran their offense. It just looked like Pitt finally hit that wall and played a really good basketball team.
You could say whatever you want about the guy, but the one thing that you have to say whenever you link his name to basketball is he's a damn good coach.
Sean Miller's a whiz.
And always
an
has
offensive
been.
Whiz.
Always has been. Oh, you know what you're getting out of Sean Miller if you're going against his basketball team, and it showed. And I said this last week. I was like, you know, Pitt has to play their game. And if in the tournament, most teams have to play their game because the turnaround is so fast of having to play against a new team. You don't have enough time to really scout. Simultaneously, Xavier and Sean Miller's team, they played their game, but they knew who they were playing against, and they knew what they needed to do to beat Pitt. And Sean Miller, you have to give him credit. I know I'm a Pitt guy. I'm not being biased right now, but you have to really give him credit of being an outstanding, outstanding basketball coach.
Well, yeah, and I think if Pitt didn't come out hot early, you knew it was going to be an uphill battle, yeah. And we saw that. The first couple missed threes, you go, man, if those drop, probably completely different, at the very least, completely different first half, right? Changes the atmosphere. And when they didn't drop, you went, okay, yep, this might be what I expected.
They ran into a tough matchup. I think Jeff Hathorn hit it on the head before the tournament even started. Who should Pitt want to play? Teams that can't make shots. Teams that aren't great offensively, because Pitt was not a great defensive team this year. And it didn't mean that they were definitely going to lose. If they hit their shots and play their game, then okay, you can come out with a win. But they ran into one of the better offensive basketball teams in the sport. I will say, yeah, I don't know that it's all that much out on a limb kind of prediction for me either. I think at some point Sean Miller is going to be the head coach of Pitt basketball. I'm not trying to say Jeff Capel's got to leave or anything like this, but at some point I would imagine a guy who's a Pitt guy, who's a wonderful coach, will be back here. And that's another reason I think Pitt fans should be optimistic now, is maybe Jeff Capel has a great career here at Pitt and leaves. Maybe he never leaves. Wonderful. But at some point, coaches, they leave.
What if
Sean Miller's coming back at some point?
Well, what if Sean Miller has a better job right now? That's the thing. He has essentially an NBA arena. They don't have football, so everything is funneled towards basketball. He has absolutely toppled Cincinnati as the number one team in town in that city. Why would Sean Miller leave for this job when he has that job? I understand the conference implications, but other than that, why?
Well, I think, first of all, there's going to be a commitment, a renewed commitment to, we're going to pay money here if we're Pitt. If you have success, you could spend some money.
Don't think Xavier alums have money?
They got money. I also think there's a huge heartstring calling to go back to your alma mater. I mean, I know how it would work for me. If I was at a job anyplace else and West Virginia came calling, it'd be really hard if the money was similar to say no.
You know what that does, though? And I've said it even with, like, Jim Harbaugh. That becomes foggy, that situation, because you don't want to go back to your alma mater and have the things that you did before be erased because of the negative things that could come to it. And I think that Sean Miller really, really does think in detail of that. It's like, if I go back to Pitt, I want people to remember me as the Pitt basketball player, not as the Pitt coach that possibly didn't do
well. Can I tell you what I think a bigger situation is in terms of coaching right now? What if Jeff Capel walks in today and says he wants an extension after this year?
He should.
He's got 3 more years on his contract left after this one. There were a lot of rumblings last year about the financial implications. What if he walks in and he says, hey, we got this this athletic department going in all different directions. We got a wrestling national champion who we're going to have on today at 9:30. We got the volleyball coach. He just got a new contract. We got football headed in the right direction. Both soccer teams are apparently really good around here. All kinds of great stuff is happening, right? I just took you guys on the ride that everybody paid attention to. The whole athletic department stopped. I want some more money. What if he does that today?
The only way you do that, if you're Heather Lake, is, okay, fine. You get an extension. Buyout goes down.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the key to the whole thing.
But he should. I mean, that's what Narduzzi did, right? Narduzzi was like, hey, look at me.
Look, you got to strike when the iron's hot.
Yep.
Because you know if it gets cold again, you talk about that buyout. If it's not a big number, you're right back out on your
butt.
Does
he deserve it?
I would make him play. No, I would make him play it out through next year and prove that he's built a program and not just 1 year. But you've got to be excited as to where they are. You've got to be. No matter how many naysayers there are, people say it's going to crumble. It's going to go down. It was just they were older than the Oklahoma City Thunder and everything like that. And this team was just a bunch. All that might be true. What you can't take away from Jeff Capel is, it got turned around and they went to the tournament when they were picked 14th. Mm-hmm. Those facts are facts.
And as Crowley laid out earlier, if he's able to bring in those three guys again, like he did last, if he's able to do it this year, why can't he do it coming off of this year?
Yeah, I just think that's absolutely could happen. So much more to get into. Get money coming up, the five thereafter. And do you believe in jinxes? So much to talk about this morning. Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly.
About 3 months exactly, I remember, because it was leading right up to Christmas when I hit my ideal weight of 180 pounds thanks to Awaken 180 weight loss. It's been about 3 months now, and guess what? I'm right there at my goal weight after dropping 30 pounds in 6 weeks. I've stayed put. Why? Because Awaken 180 stays with you. It's not a pay to take the weight off and then continue to pay for some subscription fee and all the meals coming in and you got to do this and that. No, it's they teach you how to lose the weight. That's the best part about Awaken 180 is the light at the end of the tunnel is real. No subscription, no monthly withdrawals from your bank account. You pay to lose the weight while learning how to keep it off and never paying another dime. For me, it was 30 pounds in 6 weeks. For you, it could be 50 pounds in 3 months. It could be whatever the number is, you lose the weight and you keep it off. That's the key with Awaken 180. Your coach, they stay with you. Free support for life. We got Donnie Football on the program now, 17 pounds down in 2 weeks. You could be achieving that same success as well. Reserve your at-home consultation today. Call 844-346-1800, 844-346-1800, and find out more at awaken180weightloss.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
That's just spectacular. The Highland Park Bridge ramp is closed. I saw on the one channel, they had, I think her name's Lauren Talata on channel 11. She was standing outside, and it said, the detour takes you through Sharpsburg. Now, the Highland Park Bridge being closed, that has to handle hundreds of thousands, at least tens of thousands of cars a day. The fact that they're going to funnel people through Main Street in Sharpsburg, like this, the between about the Waterworks Mall and the Heinz plant is, they should just, people should just boat. it's never.
Water taxi time.
It is never right. You never turn that on and someone goes, you know what's great today? Route 28. Route 28 in the Allegheny Valley. It's just perfect. Every time it's on the news, there's a terrible accident or they're fixing the road and it's the perpetual construction situation that has never ended. Ever. They're both news, two of the three news, I didn't see the other one, has someone standing out in the dark going, don't go on the Highland Park Bridge ramp. You got to go back underneath, go through Sharpsburg, get back on, wiggle up this little ass ramp that only can handle one car at a time, has a stop sign at the end of it, and then you get on 28 up by the Shaler Waterworks. This is a disaster. Mm. Disaster. Wait till you see this morning.
I'm glad I don't have to go over there.
Yeah.
What we should do is go get coffee, like those things, and stand out in Sharpsburg, right down like where Augie's Flower Shop used to be, and have a thing of coffee and sell it to people that are stopped and say, you ain't going anywhere for 25 minutes. Right. You might as well buy coffee off of
get
us.
You sipping it.
Right.
Might as well be comfortable.
That's the move if anybody's smart. Anyway, let's get to it. Get money right now.
Get money. Get money. Get money.
Get money. Get money. Get money. Get money. What do you got here, boys?
Mine's pretty simple. Penguins are desperate. We know that. We know the Penguins are very desperate. They play tonight at home against the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa Senators are 6th in their division right now. They need a win. They really do. They need to figure something out, and they need a win against the Ottawa Senators. So, pretty easy. Money line Penguins tonight. You'll win some money. I think that they are desperate for a win. They're going to get a win at home at PPG Paints Arena. Puck drops at, what, 7 p.m., right?
Yep, yes. Just after 7 o'clock.
Very easy. Moneyline Pens.
I'm going to piggyback off of that because when the Penguins are desperate, who's the guy that always drags them out of the mud? It's Sid. Sid has gone more than 4 games without scoring a goal just once this year. Guess what? He's gone 4 games without scoring a goal. Sidney Crosby will score a goal tonight. You can get it at plus money. So Sidney Crosby, anytime goal scorer tonight. Get money.
I'm jumping ahead to the Sweet 16 here. I know we got a little bit of time before Thursday.
So am I. Don't steal mine, sir.
Everyone's on the Michigan State Spartans.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Everyone loves Tom Izzo, as they should. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell of a coach. Kansas State's winning that game outright. They're a one-point underdog. Marquise Noel, doesn't matter. He shoots it from Lawrence, Kansas. Bang, drains it. Keontae Johnson going to be the most athletic player on the court. Kansas State, in a squeaker, they beat Michigan State straight up, slight one-point underdog right now.
See the first Noel that's played for them? You know what I do like? You know how the coaches now have eschewed outside of there's a couple. I know Kevin Willard had a shirt and tie on or whatever in a suit. But most of the coaches have gone like sweatsuits now. And the thing is now the matching ones. Okay, you saw Capel had that on and Coach O'Toole and all those guys. Kansas State had the sharpest matching things on. The light purple kind of
white
quarter zips.
Oh, yeah.
The Kansas State staff looked the best out of all, I thought. Mm-hmm. Just my, from what I saw. West Virginia's looked like a ragtag bunch. They didn't match.
Listen, it's Bobby Huggs. I don't even think Bob got his from, like, the team store.
I don't think. No. He had, like, a Cutter and Buck pullover from, 1987.
Wears whatever the hell he wants. Who's going to tell him no?
It was interesting. All right, by the way, before I get to my pick, the schedule is out. Thursday, and it's 6:30, 7:15, 9 o'clock, 9:45, both days.
Okay.
Your Thursday games. First one, and I'll go in order. Michigan State, Kansas State. Then Arkansas, UConn. FAU, Tennessee, then Gonzaga, UCLA. Your Friday games, again, 6:30, 7:15, 9, and 9:45. Friday games go in order like this. San Diego State, Alabama, Miami, Houston, Princeton, Creighton, Xavier, Texas. That's your schedule. It's out. To my get money pick, it's only 5.5, this number. Tennessee and Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic, a 5.5-point dog. This is where Cinderella ends, I think. Give me Tennessee. Tennessee will make some free throws at the end. Florida Atlantic will be forced to foul. Tennessee will win this game by 7-8 points, maybe even double digits. I just think you often see teams like this, once they get back to campus, once they get their wits about them, once they have a pep rally again, then they got
fat and happy.
Yeah, they got to ramp it back up, and it's like they would. A team like Florida Atlantic would much rather there be another game today. But then the wind comes out of their sails, and they've got to travel back. I think that Tennessee will handle them. Get in on that action right now, 5.5. Give me Tennessee. So there's that. The 5 coming up in just a couple minutes. And then, do you believe in jinxes? There's a lot of different angles to this. We'll get into it in just a couple minutes. Time right now is 6:29. Time to call Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. Why pay 40% when you can pay 25%? Call 888-98-TWINS. It's also a good time for Doran to tell us something.
Yeah, thank you, Colin. It's me for the Good Feet store. We're getting into that time, getting into that time of year that I absolutely love. The weather's nice. I live by a number of parks, and I love walking, jogging around, maybe shooting some hoops. There are tons of events where you're walking around, a lot of those where you're standing for a long time. So many things can take a toll on your feet and joints, but not my feet and joints. That's because I went to the Good Feet store. You've heard my story. I was working out and had foot pain. Thought it was my shoes, but a trip to the Good Feet store showed me that it wasn't my shoes. It was actually the lack of proper arch supports in my shoes. The Good Feet store gave me a personal fitting for proper arch supports, and I tell you, it feels like I walk, stand, jog, play basketball, all on clouds. See, that is the key right there. The key is to feel comfortable, and that's what the Good Feet store can do for you. They also offer over 300 options, so you're going to be fitted with the right size and arch support for your actual shoe and shoes that you need to put your supports in. If you have foot, knee, hip, or joint pain, go to the Good Feet store, get your free personalized fitting, and prepare to be amazed. Get to the Good Feet store in Robinson or in Cranberry and tell them Doran sent you.
Noah Hiles talks Pitt basketball at 8 o'clock. Nino Bonacorsi, your national champion at 197 pounds. I watched that match the other night. I was flipping through. Man, he got down. It was like 3-0 early. Man, a lot. From Bethel Park, Pitt wrestler. He is electric. His post-match stuff was incredible. He joins us at 9:30 today. Nino Bonacorsi, Pitt wrestler, and he is a national champion at 9:30 today. Let's get to the five right now.
All right, boys. How are your brackets doing?
Trash. Straight trash. In the garbage. Like, I'm in the same poll every year. 336 people in this thing. I'm 203rd right now. Three of my final four are gone. My soon-to-be 10-year-old son is somehow in the top 10. He's eighth. I'm trash. I'm done. I'm cooked.
So am I. I threw mine away. I think that everybody threw theirs away after Kansas. I think a lot of people had Kansas. They usually have Kansas going pretty far. Kansas has ruined everybody's bracket. And also, some teams getting beat by 16 seeds. Fairleigh Dickinson doing very well, obviously losing yesterday. But my bracket is absolutely trash. I threw it away. In the trash.
Yeah, I think I have two. Alabama and Houston left. I think those two teams are still alive, but I have Marquette winning the national championship. I thought about this driving in today, though, because I knew this question would come up. How are your brackets? Nobody ever has good brackets once you reach the Sweet 16. Generally, it's always bad, or else there wouldn't be that number that ESPN puts out, like, you know, 3.7994% of brackets still have at least 10 of 16 teams or whatever. Like, everybody's is bad. What's the story?
Yeah, it's why I can't get into, and I like to have fun with this, but I can't get into the Big 12 sucks, or the ACC sucks, or the Big East is great, or the SEC is great. None of this crap is actually the best way to determine a national champion. It's just the most fun way to determine a national champion. Mine's to hell. I had Arizona winning the whole thing.
This is the best way to determine a national champion. That's a debate.
In terms of fun, not in terms of who's actually the best team.
Oh, that's a debate. Well, at 8:45. Yeah. Hold on. Right. Best way national champion. What's your next question here, the five?
Oh, let me hit the thing with the number.
Oh, that's a debate at 8:45. Continue.
What's the best way to determine a national champion? Okay, Jeff Capel.
Rock, paper, scissors. I mean, what the hell are you talking? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Basketball's a big sample size sport, and we're doing single elimination.
Well, then why even have a playoff? Sorry.
8:45. You're going to hear this.
It's the most fun way to determine. Jeff Capel, best Pittsburgh coaching job since fill in the blank. And I'm not talking University of Pittsburgh. I'm talking
bring it all in. Yeah.
Riverhounds if you want.
Abby Lee.
Abby Lee.
I mean, I don't think you're kidding.
Abby Lee, is that yours?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Abby Lee.
I'm going to go since Narduzzi. Since Narduzzi in the ACC championship game.
Man, I'll go back to, I'm going to say Hurdle the first year they made the wild card.
Another pretty good call. I'll go Sullivan the second year. You lose Letang, you got Ron Hainsey playing a bunch of minutes, and somehow you win the Stanley Cup. Best Steelers free agent signing thus far?
I think, because of what he's going to bring to the locker room. And I know it's not worth a hill of beans. But in this case, I think it will be. I think Patrick Peterson will be a good binding agent for that defense.
I like that a lot. I'm going to go KZ. I think KZ is going to provide a lot of depth. He's going to be asked to start some games, and he's going to go in there and he's going to fulfill the needs that they need at the safety position. I really like that signing. I think he brings a lot to the table. So I'm going to go DeMonte KZ.
Well, then I'll go with the guy that just signed yesterday, or I guess the night before yesterday, Isaac Seumalo. I think this guy's already by PFF ranked as their best offensive lineman. He's a mauler. Love what he could bring to the run game. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren need another guy up front to just absolutely pancake people. So I love that signing.
Fuamatu Seumalo is what I'm going to call him.
Man, I can barely say his name without bringing Fuamatu into the thing. I'm going to agree with Chris, though. That's the guy. And not just because of the player, but what it also means is that Andy White, more than just guy who writes names on draft board, he's also guy who gets free agents in here. I dig it. Penguins now have a negative scoring differential. They are the last team in the playoffs, up by just a point on Florida. Florida's won 7-10. The Penguins have lost 3 in a row. Simply, do the Penguins make the playoffs?
Yes. Yes. They will make the playoffs.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
they will.
They'll make it. Look at their schedule down the stretch. They've done well against bad teams. They've done poorly against good teams. They play more bad teams than good teams in their last 13 games. They'll make the playoffs.
Get ready for a million overtime games, too.
Oh, yeah. Loser points, baby. Mm-hmm. I think they'll make it. Scale of 1 to 10. How much fun has this tournament been? I mean, we've been talking about the tournament, but I think it's been as good as we've seen through the Sweet 16. A lot of great finishes, a lot of Cinderellas. It's
8.5. Mwah. I'll give it an 8.5. I think it's been good. I'd like a couple more buzzer beaters, but 8.5.
Yeah, I'm around there. I'm going to go like 9. I've been very, very in tune to watching it. I love seeing teams that aren't really supposed to make it and are just really etching their way into the tournament, actually winning games. I love it. I think it's been very, very exciting. 9.
I'll give it like a 7.5 because as much fun as the Fairleigh Dickinsons and Princetons of the world have been, it's still Arkansas over Kansas. There's still a lot of chalk. And so there hasn't been maybe the number of upsets in size have been huge. In frequency, they haven't been as great, especially once we move into the Sweet 16, which is kind of how it goes every year. And that's why I think interest falls off in a big way when you get into the second weekend, because the Fairleigh Dickinsons and the Princetons usually fall out of it by the second weekend.
Yeah, so. Colin stole my thunder a little bit there. I'm going to say 8, but come on. We need a little bit more of the buzzer beaters here in the tournament. That's the 5.
That is the 5. Great stuff. Coming up next, do you believe in jinxes? Do you believe in jinxes? We'll get into that. Again, Noah Hiles at 8 o'clock to wrap up the Pitt basketball season. Nino Bonacorsi, Pitt wrestler, 197-pound national champ. He did it the other night live on television, and it was exciting. We'll talk to Nino from Bethel Park coming up at 9:30 here on the Fan Morning Show.
Xavier beat Pitt yesterday 84-73 in the round of 32. Tonight, hockey, Pens, and Sens at 7 o'clock. For more, go to 937thefan.com. Headlines powered by Bowser Subaru.
You know what? I'm going to call an audible for 7 o'clock. This is a much better conversation I'm thinking of. The best way to crown a national champion. You think there's a better way. We're going to get into that at 7 o'clock. I'm not waiting till 8:45, Adam. I'm serious.
I was hoping you would do this.
This is, yes. You have sparked, you've lit a wick here. By the way, don't forget, 2023 Outlaw Music Festival is back. Willie Nelson, John Fogerty, bunch of other great acts. Giveaway tickets in short order, so be sure to be listening for that. At 7 o'clock, Crowley thinks he has a better way to give a national championship out in Division I men's basketball. We'll also get into some Steeler talk in through that 7 o'clock hour. And don't forget, Nino Bonacorsi, 9:30, won a national championship for your Pittsburgh Panthers wrestler, 197 pounds. It was electric the other night. Why don't we hit our Twitter poll right now? Certainly is. This was way back on Friday, the results, and you got this one right. Who do you have in the Pitt-Iowa State game? Pitt or Iowa State? That was Friday. 71.4% of you said Pitt, and you were right. 28.6% said Iowa State, and you weren't right. Today's daily Twitter poll, will Pitt make the tournament next year? 58.6 of the respondents to this point said yes. 41.4% said no. Daily Twitter poll every single day. Vote when you get an opportunity at Fan Morning Show. All right, Pony was so wrong with a lot of the stuff he said over the weekend. He had Penn State winning, right? Or no. Yes, did he have – or he had Penn State losing the first game, and they won that first game. He had Pitt winning yesterday, and his exact tweet, and I have it right here, Pony's exact tweet yesterday was this, just before tip-off. 11:17 a.m. yesterday. They tipped off at 12:10. His tweet was, I love, in all caps, love Pitt today. The Panthers haven't played a good offensive game in the tournament. Burton is due. Hinson is due. Xavier is thin. Played only six guys. Sean Miller has lost the double-digit seeds in his last three tournaments. He's ripe for the picking. Pitt to the Sweet 16. Spread it! Exclamation point. So he picked Pitt, and then people were all over him after because he's a jinx, and he had this to say.
I need to address the elephant in the room. Everybody's talking about it. It's not my fault. I don't play for Pitt. I didn't miss any shots. I don't play for Xavier. I didn't miss any threes. There's no such thing as a jinx. What someone says on Twitter or the radio or in the newspaper doesn't matter. So stop blaming me. I had absolutely nothing to do with the outcome or result of Pitt Xavier. So get off my back. Save that energy for someone who missed a shot, who got in foul trouble, who didn't get back on defense. It has absolutely nothing to do with me.
This looks like a hostage video, first of all. Second of all, he's right about jinxes. He is. Like, if there's a no-hitter and somebody says no-hitter, it doesn't jinx it. But he has become a character in so much as he publicly makes proclamations about definitive things that he thinks are going to happen in games, and he gets them wrong a lot.
Yeah, I'll agree with you in that regard. I also unfortunately have to agree with Pony that jinxes aren't real and anything he says doesn't have anything to do with the outcome. But he has to understand that at this point, given his track record, when he says something, people are going to come after him because he seemingly, to those that do believe in jinxes and luck and all that, believe he is a human jinx.
Yeah, but if he's right, though, then he basks in the glory. He's like, look, I told you was going to happen. That's just his deal.
Pony is a big can't handle the heat when it goes wrong guy. Big guy for that.
See, he usually on Twitter just doesn't deal with it. Like, if people say things to him on Twitter, I never see him responding. So I was shocked to see the video yesterday. It was reminiscent of Neil Brown after the Backyard Brawl loss, just sitting there looking sad in a room where you have to do this or else. But I do believe in jinxes, and I know it doesn't make any sense, believe me, but if you don't think that if something good happens with one of my teams, that I ain't wearing the same exact outfit down to the underwear and hanging out in the same place the next time, you got another thing coming.
Well, there's a difference between superstitions and jinxes, I think. Like, Pitt believed in superstitions. That's why they kept wearing those beautiful black uniforms, because they had won with them, so they were going to ride them out as long as possible. Superstitions and jinx, like, people that are going after Pony think he's a jinx, and that's different. Like, if he picks something, the opposite is going to happen.
You're right. There's a lot of overlap there, but it's not necessarily the same.
See, I believe
he sounded upset, though. Yeah. I never have heard him like that.
Do you think he just now discovered how to check mentions on Twitter and just now started to read how people react to his predictions?
He sounded legitimately upset, which I'm here for. He was moved by the people. The people are out against him. Some people really think Pitt lost because he picked them. And I like it.
I do. He does deflect, though. Go after the guy who missed the shots.
I know. If he would have left it there, that would have been okay. But then he went a step further and said, you know, have your energy for those people.
Go after the college kids.
Yikes. Is Pony's Pitt fandom fake anyway?
Yeah.
412-928-9370. Because I think it is.
Yeah. It is.
See, I'd say not totally fake. I mean, I'll give him like.
Well, why is it real then?
Because he's been here long enough and been close to the program enough, the programs, the athletic department enough that I think you make friends and you grow a genuine appreciation for the programs and you want to see them do well.
Do you think that the Pitt people are accepting of Pony? Does he think that?
No.
I think he thinks that Pitt people are like, all right, this is our, like, our stepbrother.
See, I think it's okay because I don't really think Syracuse is a big Pitt rival. Everyone hates Boeheim. I think a lot of people just hate Syracuse. If it were West Virginia, if it were a different school, I do think it'd be different. But I can see why he would have some affinity for them. Though if he ever proclaimed to love them more than Syracuse, I think that'd be a little batty.
I just don't think you can root for more than one college team. I
got no problem with it. I'll root. Now, I definitely have a hierarchy. When Pitt and Penn State play, I root for Penn State because that's my alma mater. But I still love to see Pitt do well. I don't know. Maybe I'm just corny.
That's against the fandom rules for me.
Like, I would never root for another team. Ever. Like Pony is an affiliate of Syracuse. He should always just root for Syracuse. And I wouldn't expect...
Right, he doesn't have to bash Pitt on the air.
Right, right.
But he could just be like, hey, that's my team.
Right, it's my team. Stick to it. That's your school. That's where you went. You should be proud of it. Even if they lose, you should be proud. Like, I can't see a situation where if I was, somewhat rooting for West Virginia, that I would feel West Virginia people would be accepting of me. That would be no chance. Just like Pitt people aren't accepting
of me. See, he wrapped himself in this because he should have just stayed on the Syracuse guy tip the whole time. He tried to play both sides. And that's where the problem lies in. He should have just stayed on the straight line of everyone hating him. Because then he tried to endear himself to the Pitt fan. You've played it right, Crowley.
Yes.
You have played it right.
Yesterday I had to hold my tongue a little bit before the Xavier game. But, yeah, I mean, I am who I am. I hate Pitt. Love you, Doran. But I hate Pitt.
There we are. Pitt hate.
EJ, nice guy.
All right. One thing, you said something that totally derailed the show, and we've got to talk about this coming up at 7 o'clock. You think there's a better way to get a national champion, or you think this way is bad. We have to talk about that. Get your tickets right now. 2023 Outlaw Music Festival is back. Don't miss Willie Nelson, John Fogerty, Flatland Cavalry, Kathleen Edwards, all kinds of people. August 12th, 2023. For your chance to win a pair of tickets, call now. All giveaways here on The Fan brought to you by Dave and Buster's of North Hills, located block at Northway Intersection McKnight in Babcock. 10th caller right now, 412-928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Silverado's Colorado's back in stock with a great selection. Stop in online too, sunchevy.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.